From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, March 5th, 2020. The Maine PUC has rejected a proposal by Canadian company NMAX to buy the electric utility that serves more than 150,000 customers in northern Maine. Mal Leary has more.
The proposed sale of Emera Maine, with a long list of conditions, was rejected by the commission by a vote of 2-1. Chairman Phil Bartlett says the proposal as written does not do enough to address his concerns about the future risks to ratepayers.
In my view, as the stipulation is currently drafted, the magnitude of the risk is great enough that I'm unable to conclude that they are outweighed by the benefits.
Bartlett and Commissioner Bruce Williamson voted against the proposed deal. Commissioner Randall Davis said he could vote for the agreement with some changes to the stipulations. The deal as proposed is worth $1.3 billion. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The Maine legislature will consider an emergency bill that could prohibit Hydro-Québec from spending money to influence a potential referendum on a controversial power line project running through western Maine. The bill is in response to reporting by Maine Public, highlighting a gap in state and federal laws that allows foreign nationals or corporations to participate in or contribute to ballot campaigns. Independent Representative Kent Ackley is sponsoring the proposal after expressing concerns that Hydro-Québec has formed a ballot committee to campaign for the project, which Mainers could vote on in the November election. Hydro-Québec's sole shareholder is the Government of Quebec. The company would supply the power for the transmission project known as the New England Clean Energy Connect. Ackley's bill is co-sponsored by Democratic Senate President Troy Jackson and House Speaker Sarah Gideon. The bill was referenced Thursday to the Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee, which has not yet scheduled a public hearing. A proposal to beef up health insurance benefits for retired emergency responders has received the approval of a legislative committee. In the weather tonight, clear early, then clouds increase, lows 11 to 28 tomorrow, overcast statewide with snow showers west of the Penobscot, highs 27 to 43.
This Day in Maine is made possible by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
Opponents of a controversial transmission line are condemning a Central Maine Power Political Action Committee for hiring a private investigator to monitor their efforts to scuttle the project via ballot initiative. Meanwhile, the director of the CMP PAC says the investigator's findings raise questions about whether opponents have violated state law in their attempt to qualify for the November ballot. Maine Public Steve Missler has more.
The controversy centers on corridor opponents' efforts to get enough signatures to make the November ballot. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap announced Wednesday that the campaign reached the qualifying threshold, but also noted that CMP's PAC had submitted information suggesting that opponents may have violated a law that prohibits people involved with ballot campaigns from also notarizing ballot petitions. Some of CMP's PAC findings were made public Thursday and included an affidavit by a private investigator who surveilled an anti-corridor campaign office in Portland and alleges that a woman involved in the campaign also notarized multiple petitions. Jonathan Breed, director of CMP's Clean Energy Matters PAC, said Thursday that the findings signal broader problems with the anti-corridor campaign and an out-of-state firm that paid signature gatherers. CMP's PAC could petition Superior Court to halt certification of the referendum, and it has 10 days from Thursday to do so. Meanwhile, Sandra Howard of the lead anti-corridor group called the hiring of a private investigator horrifying and a new low in Maine politics. Howard also called on CMP Executive Director David Flanagan to denounce the campaign's tactics. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The U.S. Department of Education is reversing course on a rule that could have jeopardized more than $1 million in funding for rural schools in Maine. Robbie Feinberg has more.
In late January, the Maine Department of Education alerted schools that the federal government planned to change the eligibility rules for its rural and low-income school program, which provides grants to districts to help cover expenses for teacher training, technology, art teachers, and mental health counselors. For years, the state had determined eligibility for the program using the percentage of students in a district receiving free lunch. But a federal education spokesperson told Maine Public that after an extensive review, they determined that those alternative measures should no longer be used, and all states would instead need to rely on U.S. Census poverty data to determine eligibility. State officials warned at the time that that could have impacted more than 100 districts, with the state losing up to 75% of the amount it normally receives. News of the change prompted a significant push from lawmakers to reverse the DOE decision. On Wednesday, 22 U.S. senators urged the department to change its mind. Only a few hours later, Maine Senator Susan Collins announced that the department would reverse the change. Mike Hammer, the superintendent of RSU 19 in Newport, Maine, says his district has used funds from the program to develop curriculum for teachers.
If you take that $30,000 away and you have to put it back into the regular budget, that, you know, that could be a position and that type of thing. So that grant definitely helps support us, support our budget and not have to take away from something else.
Steve Bailey, the executive director of the Maine School Management Association, says while the amount of each grant isn't a whole lot, they have a wide-ranging impact.
You have 800 different school districts that are being affected across the country, so it's pretty huge.
In a statement, U.S. Department of Education Press Secretary Angela Morabito says that the department plans to pause the rule change for 1 year and has, quote, provided language to Congress to permanently address this issue. In an interview on Thursday, Collins says she plans to introduce legislation shortly to ensure the problem won't happen again. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1, where the topic is making the most of mud season. I'm Ed Morin.